You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hello, listeners. Welcome back for another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. All right, let's start this episode like we do every week, and that's sharing one of you, our awesome listeners, who's using our hashtag on the Instagrams, hashtag STR Share Sunday, so we can share you here on the pod. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing at Bethia Your Farm. And listen, it's like Gaelic Scottish, so forgive me if I pronounced it wrong, but I'm going to spell it at Beathaur Farm. Beathaur Farm. Check the link in the show notes. Holy smokes. This farm is from 1868. I guess the Johnstons were a famous cookie company. This couple has been spending 3 years. Yes, you heard me right. 3 years. Restoring this home. Suzanne and Charlie, the stories I'm sure you have to share with all of us, but wow, it is beautiful. It is so beautiful. I want you to just take a look at it. It is on 4.5 acres, so they are making it happen in the design. They really stayed true to the farmhouse feel here, and you'll see it in their quilts and the paint colors and just the charm. I think that's the word I really want to use here is it is so charming. Just looking at the photos takes you back, and they are just crushing it here. But 3 years.
But they've woven it with modern conveniences like the heated floors.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I love when people do justice to the charm and the originality of the home while bringing us travelers a taste of luxury.
Right. Like the bedrooms have like electric fireplaces now, which are just lovely. But man, it is beautiful. Well done, Suzanne and Charlie. I hope you are enjoying the fruits of your extensive labor here. The ceilings are gorgeous. The doorknobs, the everything. They've crushed it. It's beautiful.
Yes.
All right, Sarah. Yeah. We're going to go from one couple to another couple.
Yes. Today we have Jonathan and Heidi, who met at a Halloween party, and that was the start of not only a life partnership, but also a business partnership. And Jonathan had no idea where his life was going to take him after meeting Heidi, who has this entrepreneurial flair to her. Jonathan has this business savvy.
Well, he was military, thinking he was going to retire into a certain career and been prepping for it, and then the pivot.
And we just thought this episode would be so wonderful for listeners out there, not only if you're in some sort of partnership, but just how you just never know where life's going to take you next. All right, Jonathan and Heidi, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. Yeah,
for sure. Well, we can tell everyone we were chatting a little bit before the episode got started. We love that you guys were in costume and, you know, at Halloween is when you met. But talk to us about both of your individual stories and then when you came together, how you're creating all of the short-term rental real estate, empire that you're building together now.
Yeah, thanks so much. Really appreciate the opportunity to come out here and talk to some of your listeners and share a little bit about us, because we feel like it's been a pretty impactful story for us so far. Mm-hmm. For myself, I'm currently active duty in the Marines, been deployed to combat about 4 times and overseas for various other exercises. Getting ready to transition out and retire next year is timely for us to sort of hit a really good inflection point with the business. The business actually began with our relationship together. I've had houses over the past 10, 15 years that I've rented out long-term, but going into the short-term space and then the mid-term space, which we'll talk about later, has been something that we've sort of worked on to refine and discover some new spaces together. So throughout my time in the Marine Corps, I did get my master's in business from Purdue, also a master's in IT and a project management cert. I had all the resume to transition into something like a C-level type job for a Fortune 500 or become a government contractor, something like that. But it turns out that working this business is going to be the more likely avenue, more lucrative. It's a great creative outlet. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. And for me, I don't have all that. I was a stay-at-home mom for like 10 years. And then I needed to provide for my kiddos. And I only did 1 year of college. So I always thought like, man, I could be a property manager and live on site and then I can do this. And I didn't want to live in Fresno anymore. That's where I was from, Fresno, California, and born in LA, but LA was just too much for me. So I made my way to San Diego, North County, coastal, and I got a job. Someone gave me an opportunity and I'm still there. That's still my day job. I did that back in 2016 and my mind was always running. Like, okay, this isn't enough for me. I love to travel. I want to spend time with my children. And I just, you know, I want my time too. So I spoke to the investor I worked for and he always just gave me opportunity. He's like, you need to get your real estate license. So I went from managing long-term properties, apartments, and homes. Then I got my real estate license. And when COVID hit, I was sent to Maui and I was living there. Actually, I was living there when I met him. And I was transitioning back full time. So I was still there a little bit and in here, did a lot of travel back and forth, bought some homes out there, you know, or sold homes out there, not bought. No, I didn't purchase any. But, you know, I was already doing a little bit of like in-home hosting. So my mind was always running. So when I was still living here before heading to Maui, I would rent out a room through Airbnb. And I was like, I have my children half the time. So when they go with their dad, I've got like 2 or 3 bedrooms at a time, right? So it was like all booked and like the rooms are all booked. COVID hit. I stopped. I went to Maui, come back. And then my wheel starts spinning again. And I'm like, I need to get back into this. At this point, I had saved a substantial amount of money where I was like, I need to invest this in something. And so we meet, we start dating, it's going, and I have a 1-bedroom here that I was living in, and it was all furnished. And I was like, I'm going to try this out, like not live in it, just actually go full blown. I'm going to just see if I can do this. And it was working out. And I was like, hey, are you down to do this with me? It's like, I would talk to him about even renting his place. And he was a little like, this is my home. I don't know. And I was like, well, you know, it's okay. We can try it out. I have an opportunity to do an arbitrage. Like, I can rent out a home, we furnish it, and then, you know, we can just go from there. I've already tried the one bedroom. And so I even like had another Zoom meeting with someone to kind of show us so he could see. And that didn't go so well. And I was like, I need to trust myself. I know what I'm doing. I know the market. I've done long-term rentals here. I know that there's a market for midterm, short-term. It's here. So he's like, yeah, let's do this. So we combined, and this was 3 months into our relationship, and we're like, all right, let's do it. So yeah, we started furnishing that first four bedroom in Encinitas or Leucadia area, right by the beach, doing the whole permit thing, everything. And while we were waiting on our permit, we had to stop doing it, but we saw the potential there. And then month three, two or three, July, it just skyrocketed. It completely surpassed our overhead and even our expenses, everything. We made our money back, everything. So he's like, he instantly had created a listing for his house and he was like ready.
I love it was a short-term relationship that went short-term rentals. You guys just were going all the STR. Can we rewind a little bit, Heidi? I don't know if we've ever had anyone on the show that has rented out multiple rooms in their home while they were living in it. Were you renting out those rooms to individual? Were they each individual room, individual listings?
I was.
Okay.
I had a listing where all the rooms could be taken, or you would just rent them separately. And then surprisingly, one of them became my roommate. I loved her so much. And her name is Dee, and she was a nurse, a traveling nurse. So she needed some time. And so she actually ended up staying with me until I moved out of that house and everything. And she went back to Georgia or something. And I rented them individually. And I kind of vetted them. I would vet them before too. It's like, who's coming and whatnot. I've only had one bad experience with someone, but it was like they smoked in the house. And I was like, no.
Right.
But other than that, I spoke to them and that was it. And another thing, I was really busy. I would only come home to sleep. So I had this house, and then I also had this other apartment. Anywhere I lived, I would just do it. And so I'm the type that you can sacrifice. It's okay.
I do want to share a short, funny story. An observation from my perspective is we're just getting into this space and she's trying it out. That's what someone does, is maybe they'll do a house hack. Little house hack, didn't hurt anybody. Rent out your space. If you're living in it, it's just a little bit of an extra sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You vacate, someone comes and does a vacation there or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember February 22, I was on vacation in Rio de Janeiro to see Carnival. And I do a FaceTime with Heidi and she's in someone else's bed. It wasn't hers. And it's her friend. I think it was Rochelle, right?
Yeah.
And so it was Rochelle. She had rented out the space, and just decided, well, I don't need to leave, but I'm going to take the booking, and just went to her friend's house and slept there.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing her like a grown woman sleeping in someone else's bed. I'm like, you know, you could just go over to my house. There's no one there. Literally have a couple of beds to choose from. But that's where you see someone's hustle, and you got to respect them doing what they need to do to prove out a concept or to make that extra money. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, my mindset was like, well, if it does well, I'll go. We weren't living together, but when he was home, I was there all the time. Like, it was like I was living there, but we still, he had the house. But it was so weird. It's like, well, we're not like. We were 3 months in. So yeah.
3 months from being official.
Yeah. So he made a joke. He's like, my girlfriend is homeless.
In a good way. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I was just trying it out. And I was like, okay, I can go rent something else and then let that work itself, you know? So yeah, but I ended up moving in with him and it worked out.
What I'm taking, first of all, Jonathan, thank you so much for your service and congratulations on the retirement. Have you retired or is it still upcoming?
It's still upcoming.
Okay.
August of next year will be the official date I hang it up.
You are. Thank you so much for your sacrifice too. But I think there's so much we can take away from this conversation of, Jonathan, what you learned about Heidi. Yes, she could have just stayed in your house, but as she's trying out this new business venture that she's seeing if it's a good fit for her, she's also respecting a new boundary in your relationship by maybe not assuming XYZ. And I just think a lot of listeners out there, you might meet, whether it's a life partner or a business partner. And I love those little clues that we can pick up on how you can see how the relationship is going to be moving forward in the future, whether it's business or personal. And it's those little clues that can really help us understand if this person's a good fit as we like embark on something that is going to be really hard to untangle. So we really need to be sure that we can do this together. So yes. Jonathan, from your point of view, when, you know, the July was surpassed your highest hopes, what was it about, was it that got you hooked? Was it her passion for it and her unwavering spirit to try this out? What helped you as the partner that maybe didn't have the initial idea for short-term rentals get on board?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I never really had the vision of me being in hospitality because customer service is something that you have to really evaluate whether you're going to want to do it personally. Mm-hmm. So much goes into it, from communications to the experience and et cetera. So I didn't envision that being really part of my end game or my now game either. But that said, timing for getting into the first place, March, April timeframe, we spent, you know, getting into an arbitrage is significant. You're paying your first month's rent. In this case, it was $7,000. Wow. It's like a crystal mm-hmm. place. Mm-hmm. Double that because you got to pay security deposit. And then furnishing a house, doesn't matter if it's inland or coastal, about a 3 or 4 bedroom house, we find that we spend about like 20 to 22K when you go all in furnishings and then down to the linens and soaps and essentials.
Yeah.
So somewhere in that ballpark,
they
vary, of course.
The first month's rent and the deposit.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're substantially in at that point and you're hoping it works mm-hmm. based off of other data that's not exactly that house in that neighborhood, mm-hmm. which I know we're preaching to the choir. You just want it to work. And then it did. We go right into the summer timeframe and then boom, July gets like solidly booked at rates that we were able to kind of set on our own terms. And that was a $27,000 a month top line. I'm like, okay, maybe I do like hospitality. Because by that point, I had done a lot of the, not just the hospitality, but the operations. Mm-hmm. Running a business is an outlet for me to mm-hmm. be creative and to execute and to plan things that are like completely my language.
It's all him. Like, I tell him all the time, I would not have been able to do this without him. He is the engine behind all of that. I get to be creative and decorating. And I tell him, like, that's like the one thing I feel I'm good at. You know,
I'm going to stop this right here because, Heidi, you are not giving yourself enough credit. You are the whole reason that he got started in this. So,
that's right.
John, love you, mean it. But Heidi, girl, you have got it going on. And I want you to like puff your chest a little bit more because that's what we do as women, downplay it. And I just...
You are the vision. You're the visionary and you're
the vision for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I can.
And she's
the
deal maker. She'll talk to insurance companies and we'll get into this later on. But she'll talk with someone that's got a family, a client family that needs to relocate. In our Zillow posting, we use all platforms. Our Zillow posting for like a 2 bedroom, this is silly. It was about like $7,000 for a month, like just to kind of hook some people in there. And we're not exactly going for like people that are looking for a house for themselves. We're going to talk with insurance companies. Mm-hmm. And so she comes back with an $11,500 deal for 1 month in a 2 bedroom.
Unextended.
Okay, you're doing that Heidi thing where you ask for more money.
he says it. So. You're doing the Heidi thing. Oh, you did your Heidi thing. I'm like, yeah. What do you mean? But
she has a way of getting what she wants.
The investor I work for, I think that's why he's kept me on too. I know why. But negotiating and ideas and just trying to find different venues to make things work. I guess I'm pretty good at it. But we work as a team and he's amazing at the whole business, the model, and keeping it running and growing. So we both have our good qualities, like what we're good at, and we do our best to combine it and support each other. It's not always perfect, but we also have to remind ourselves, it's like, it's only been a year and a couple months, like, and it's growing so fast that it's like, we weren't prepared for this, right? We thought it can be, it's a wild ride for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, after the first arbitrage though, what was next after that? You're like, okay, we have this first arbitrage. We see what the revenue is. Where is the moment where you're like, okay, this is something that we're going to expand on? Take us through those conversations that you had and starting to develop where you are now.
Yeah, it was my house next.
His house. He had that listing done. I didn't even do it. He had it, and I looked in the Airbnb app and I was like, did you make a listing? Yeah. He made the listing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was already furnished, ready to go. At that point, we were kind of looking at options anyway to get into a little bit bigger house. Mm-hmm. Mine was a 3-bedroom, which we converted into a 4 because it had a den space. But still, no, with yard. My 2 girls and then her kids, we just kind of needed a little bit of a bigger space anyway. So we began to look at a rental that we could use for that purpose to enjoy and has a few more amenities that we wanted to have for a long-term play. And so it became a clear runway for that place where I was living to just go right onto the market. It's mine. And it was just, there's no barriers to us doing it other than in HOA that, you know, they sometimes are very, very assertive, but mm-hmm. That's where we began to discover a new interesting space for us that began to be a lot more important for what we are now. Mm-hmm. And that was our experimentation in the midterm space.
Where the HOA came in and like stops you and you're like, yeah, so much potential here. Your coastal, newer development, the amenities, and we just couldn't. But we were like, all right, let's just do midterm. And when we listed it live to actively start finding someone, and we were actively looking for a home, and we're like, we should just do a furnished home ourselves or something. Let's try. But if we don't, we were like, okay, we could just furnish it. We find a house that we're all right, we want to see it. And then all of a sudden we get a ping, like, whoop, someone's interested. No, they just, yeah, someone was interested for a month for his place. And we're like, what? And then we negotiated that. It wasn't even an insurance case. It was a sports team of professional skaters from China that wanted his home. So we...
And they wanted a lot of beds in there.
And they wanted a lot of beds in there. And we were willing to give them the beds. We're like, oh. So it happened in a matter of like days, like 2 or 3 days, turnover, paint the house, rearrange some stuff, remove our belongings, and then move into our house now, where it was fully, it just all worked out for us.
Where was that listing though? Was it on Airbnb?
It was. We had a sale as well, but the booking came from just being on Airbnb. Mm-hmm. No reviews.
What did the HOA do? I want to talk about the misstep, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners here that want to put their primary residence on Airbnb or, you know, a short-term rental. Did you know you weren't supposed to be doing it and you just did it anyways? Or did you not read your bylaws and you're like, I'm going to try this until they, like, talk us through that too.
To be clear, we use Airbnb simply as a platform of getting the property out there, because we know that some of the bookings come from there. Just like people will have the money and they'll just shell it out from person to person, mm-hmm. or sports team to person. It's always been on Airbnb for 31 days or more. Okay. Now the city sometimes has, well, twice, Oceanside, California city mm-hmm. has found it on Vrbo and Airbnb. And they've said, hey, we noticed your property's on there. Please register your home accordingly so you can start paying taxes to us. If you don't, here's the consequences. And I had to like call them up and like clarify with them and with a few other cities that the booking or the property is a long or midterm rental, and there is no basis for us registering in any way with the city for short term. And that we've had to have that conversation with HOA and with neighbors. The safest thing at this point with being on those platforms and avoiding misperceptions is, of course, making sure your calendars, and if you're using an integrated booking engine, make sure that this thing reflects it too, mm-hmm. that you're 31 days or more. And you state that much in relatively a conspicuous place in your description of the property. You do those two things, you're going to avoid all the pitfalls, mm-hmm. and you're not going to have to get kind of mired down in people putting themselves out there, which sometimes can be in somewhat public places, like mm-hmm. a neighborhood Facebook group, which has happened.
Back to the CCNRs, you do have to read. Yeah, we read them. Some places have like 6 months. That's not something I would want to touch. But if it's 30 or 31 days, great. We can work with that. And because they will hound you, they will. I don't know if other counties or states will, but here they're just on it. And so they will catch something or someone will say something and they're like there. So yeah. And he's really good at reading everything and understanding it. And I mean, he will read an entire contract. And if they try telling him something, he's like, nope, right here. I'm going to show you right now where this is okay. And so, yeah, you do have to do your due diligence and have, at least for myself, have I done that before? Maybe. Yeah, I did at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're not supposed to ping it there. You got to ping it over here. But I only did it to try it out. But yeah, that's not, if you're living in it, it's a little different. But now when you're not, they will, you know.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with clients' properties or managing properties for others. Everything's got to be above board.
Above board. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like you took your own homes through the pressure test. And mm-hmm. once you bring in someone else's property and someone else's asset, I know that you guys are now operating above board and you've got a niche in place. So it sounds like with that first listing, the arbitrage listing that July, you were short-term renting your stays. But as you grew to understand what most buildings were allowing, that 31 plus days is maybe more feasible. So are you guys solely now focused on midterm stays across all your properties or do you do both?
We do both. I'll just say a quick thing. Right after my property, we went into Carlsbad, the next city south, and we intended to do a short-term arbitrage there. We believe that there was no HOA, which is the case, but the next door neighbor, he had some real heartache and actually involved a lawyer letter saying that we cannot do any short-term operations. And his basis was actually an old, from the 1990s, CCNR. This is community rules or community covenants and rules, basically stating that no activities.
No such hotel as or transients to be coming into. The thing is, this home is a twin home. Mm-hmm. Nice size. It looks like it's just one home, but it is a twin home. It is allowed in Carlsbad, but he had an issue because they are attached. There were those CCNRs in place. Not even the new owner knew that verbiage was there. And so her property manager had no idea. And this came up. So we were crushed. We were like, what? If Lucadia and Sunita's home could produce that, this one would surpass it. You're right on the ocean. I mean, a minute walk, you see the ocean, you've got a rooftop. This was a beautiful home. And we're like, what? So instantly we had to pivot into a 30-day.
Yeah.
And that same day that we changed our calendar, I did it there. I changed it to 30 days. We laid down. We were just talking for like an hour or two. And then we get up probably to go eat. And I looked at my phone and he looks at his and we have someone ready to book at the price that, it was at the Airbnb rate and negotiated that. Yeah. We still had to negotiate with insurance, but that one I pushed for $17,500. I mean, mind you, this house should have produced like $30,000 to $35,000 on a nice summer, month. And we couldn't get that. So we had one booking for 2 weeks. I mean, we had just launched this house. So we did our short-term booking. We fulfilled that, responsibility we had to do. But then we moved her in like a day or two later when they left. And then that turned into a 6 month, deal. And so then.
That was one of our first actual insurance cases. Mm-hmm. So you asked about our strategy. It's a mix of midterm and short-term. We do short-term where able, and we want to be prepared to like pivot those homes to midterm for like the off-season months, winter. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, we're finding that. So there's a couple of things that play. Saturation in markets that just make it so it's hard for people to reasonably say they can compete without resistance with a short term. Like, should I really get into this space? Am I going to be able to execute? Will the market support it? Because you look at some, like, it just as a traveler on Airbnb, and then just like there's a shotgun blast of so many listings, and they're great looking listings.
Oh yeah.
You got to really evaluate whether you want to get into that space. But so saturation is one. And it's just hard to find the right communities that will allow short-term rentals. So if you want to be in the space and you have that type of competition in the short-term market, the midterm market is something to consider, where it, you know, a nosy HOA that doesn't allow, well, I don't want to be pejorative towards HOAs. They're great Americans, but there's some times where they overreach a little bit. And it makes it hard to do business. You don't have to be beholden to the same city or HOA rules if you're operating in the midterm space, which is great. It's a lot of weight off your shoulders and administratively easier. So that case, it was just a lady who had a fire in her home in Carlsbad. Could be any sort of like rebuild that's happening due to whatever disaster occurred, unfortunately, for those families. So they go to their insurance company. Insurance company says, yes, we have a policy that supports you for this time of need. And the insurance company partners with a relocation firm. And you can become familiar with some of them just by cursory Google search, like ALE, CRS, THD, like temporary housing director. And they're countless. Whole alphabet.
We still get so many new ones coming in inquiring. And I remember when we had to pivot for that, I was like, you know what? There's so many properties I have to say no to, so many inquiries with my long-term rental.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I knew there is a market for that. I would go like this with my boss. I was like,
this is for your day job.
For my day job, you know, managing these homes and these areas. And I'm constantly getting inquiries like, hey, are they open to a 1 or 2 month lease? And it's like, no, this is strictly a long-term. So I also went back to a lot of my inquiries on my Zillow, and I started to look at, you know, who had inquired. And then that's another way we got more, or we built our Rolodex, and then new ones that have come in throughout the span of our company being up and running. So that's how that happened.
So if you have listings out there on Zillow or Airbnb, at some point you'll be contacted by one of these types of companies, and it just doesn't sound like something that someone might be familiar with right away. Like, hey, I'm representing an insurance claim for a family. Can we do this for this like limited time? 2 months with a possibility of a third. And a lot of people, one, might not be positioned with their calendar to accommodate that. So many people that are renting on Zillow just don't have furnished space, and they're just not able to meet that really specific market. But if you pay attention with a property that's posted out there for the world to see, you'll eventually be encountered by someone that wants to make this type of offer. So we noticed those, and she was already aware of them. And we began to collect those names of the companies and write down their email addresses and their phone numbers. And then every time we have a vacancy coming up on one of our midterm properties, a few weeks ahead of time, we're calling. I've been making phone calls today saying, we have 2 4-bedroom homes and a 3-bedroom home in North County, San Diego, pet friendly. Here's some basic stats on it. Do you have any client families who are interested in being relocated for a limited period of time? And the answer is going to be yes or no. And they each have a pretty similar process where they're looking for a little bit more data in email on, okay, what are your expectations for the lease terms and any clauses, utilities, things like that.
Yeah.
That's the conversation.
Every morning I wake up, I grab a cup of coffee, and I log into this one website, our business banking with Relay.
If you invest in real estate, manage short-term rentals for yourself or others, flip houses, or any type of business owner, you need banking that's truly built for your business. No more fees, no more minimum balances, no more remembering hundreds of different logins and passwords, and my goodness, no more bookkeeping problems come tax season. This is why we love using Relay, and you should too. Right now, they're giving away free money. Relay is an online banking platform that's a perfect fit for your short-term rental business. You get as many accounts as you need to organize and allocate income from things like day-to-day expenses, investments, or taxes. And again, like Sarah said, those are all free. And it's never been easier to send payments to your cleaning team, your inspection team, plumber, electrician. You can have virtual and physical Visa debit cards. You can now earn up to 3% APY with Relay savings accounts. And also Relay is FDIC insured up to $2.5 million through their banking partner, Thread Bank.
It takes less than 10 minutes to apply online and it's absolutely free. Plus, when you fund your new Relay account, Relay will add an additional $50 to your account. That is free money, hosts. So go grab the link in the show notes and sign up with Relay today.
Sarah.
What?
I want you to take a guess how much we are going to spend this year on Airbnb and Vrbo fees.
Oof. I feel like I should know this number off the top of my head.
It's okay. Just make a guess.
16,000, 17,000?
Wrong. Over $50,000.
What?
Yes, I'm on Hostly's direct bookings ROI calculator right now, and I plugged in our stats, and yes, based on the number of bookings we anticipate for this year, that's how much Airbnb is going to charge us for fees.
That's crazy.
I know, but I've got some good news for you. Since we use Hostly as our property management software, the calculator is letting us know if we continue to improve our direct booking strategy, we can save over $15,000 per year.
Wow, that is good news. Plus, we know this. When we make it our goal to improve our direct bookings with Hostfully, we will have more control over our cancellation policies, guest database, and our overall branding differentiation in this crazy growing industry.
Yes. Plus our bottom line.
Yeah.
So listeners, please give Hostfully's direct booking ROI calculator a try for yourself. And we bet you'll be excited to learn more about Hostfully's award-winning property management software and their integrated, built-in, out-of-the-box, completely customizable direct booking site for your hosting business.
And thanks for visiting, listeners. Get $100 off when they use code TFV100 at checkout. That's right. Use code TFV100 when signing up for Hostfully's property management software to get $100 off. I have so many questions for you. It's great because of when you started with short-term rentals and then you went into midterms because of you pivoted in a brilliant way. And I think because of when you did that, you weren't so into one way of doing things that for you, I think it's been easier for you to adjust your systems. So I've got some questions around that. My first one being, I think that's kind of a hot tip, and Annette and I like to pick out the hot tips in our interviews, is when you register a home with a relocation company, like the ones that you listed, you're saying that even though you're like have your information, you fill out the form online, they've got your stuff, you don't wait for them to call you with the next time they've gotten available. They need have someone in need, you're calling them a few weeks, a month ahead of time and saying, hey, we have this house coming available. We're already in your system, but we're wanting to know if you've got a good match for us. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Like the folks that I talked with today, I spoke with them and I understood that these are national companies that want, I mean, they're just people with a saturated task load. And sometimes it's their MO to look at their database first. But sometimes they just start pouring through other listings for whatever reason, based on the techniques for that team. They happen to be really saturated right now with the Maui fire cases. And my heart goes out to everyone that's been affected by that.
Yeah.
It's a terrible disaster and it deserves a lot of attention from the insurance companies right now. But that alone makes it difficult for people to focus on our three houses in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we just got to bring it to the forefront of their mind. That's part of the
just remind them, shoot out an email and attach your listings, even though they're already in their system.
Yeah.
I ended up doing that right before coming here, just sending, hey, we have this home. They might not have something, but their colleague will. And so they'll ask, hey, do you have anything in this area? Do you have a family in need? That's pretty much how we do that.
Do you keep a listing live on Zillow 5 all the time, just to 4 leads?
Like a lead magnet?
Ooh, that's such a savvy question. We usually do have something on there.
Yeah, we so, always
yes have- or no? Wait, you're saying it's a savvy? You got something going on here? Give us the goods. Like yes or no? What you got going on? You got one live? You point them other direction?
We've been increasing houses as we go pretty rapidly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With acquisition of clients, so obviously when one client's getting ready to get their place photo ready, we don't want to wait until that. If we have another 3-bedroom that's a few doors down and it's pretty similar. And so, we're going to adjust the listing availability date for that one to start a conversation. And then we can talk to the insurance and be like, well, this exact house, it turns out, is not available, but we have one that can really facilitate what you're looking for, which families that are being relocated, they're coming from that pocket of the county because people want to be able to go to their same job, get their kids to the same school, and have a similar house to what they just had to vacate from, which we're still facilitating.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like a big mixing bowl of we have a lot of 2, 3, and 4 bedrooms that check everyone's blocks.
And we do, like he said, we keep a listing up. Especially in his community where his house is.
Absolutely.
We have 4 in that community now. We've grown in that community. So I was just on the phone with an insurance agent and I was like, well, if this one's on their budget, this one's coming up, you know? So they inquired about the one we had up, but their need is more in the one that's about to become vacant. So
yeah, they might not know exactly what they need.
Right.
So we'll ascertain that.
We have another house in Vista that's becoming available and it's still fairly close. So you can jump it over to that one. So yeah, you can maneuver and massage it a little bit.
Yeah.
This isn't the same bait and switch that people do on platforms like Airbnb, right, where they show one picture and then you arrive and it's something different. And we understand that, right? This is where you're getting a lead. It's a product that you have similar products in terms of like your systems and your customer service and your level of safety. And you're still sharing with the potential, you know, company or family with, okay, it's not this one, but what about this one? You're still giving that opportunity to choose.
To be fair, that's what apartments and condos do every single day. Like an apartment building, when you walk through the model, it's not the one you're living in, you know, the one that they, so I absolutely agree with what you're doing because it's, you know, obviously we're just checking boxes like, yep, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, this, that, and the other. Like they don't, the person doesn't even know exactly what they want either. They just know they have this like little, this list of things that they need. And then you're finding, you know, what's available for them. So we think it's a great idea.
Yeah. We actually do it with our short terms too. We've had people come back and we're like, that's not, you know, available in your time frame, but we have this other one, you know? And so we're just really transparent with them. We do get the compliment. They are true to their photos, if not sometimes better. So I'm not worried about that either. So yeah, we just get creative in how to pull. I do that with, I'm used to doing that with the long-term rentals. I will leave a house up because it's not photo ready, the one that's becoming available, but they're very much alike. They're in the same neighborhood, the same floor plan, but there it does change a bit. And I let them know like, oh, this one's not actually, it just got rented, but the other one is ready. It's going to be, I can show it to you. And a lot of times they are. I have the same models and it one just happens to get rented, but no one's moved in yet. So I can show them that one and be like, the other one will just change. And here are some old photos or something, you know? So I was used to doing that myself with my day job. So with this, we're like, you can implement the same model here.
Yeah. And if it's one that's just too different, then you just stipulate that in your listing and say, hey, this is not quite ready. It's going to be furnished in a specific way, but at least it gets some of the data out there that can at least be recognized on someone's search.
Yeah.
You mentioned clients. Who are your clients now? Are you pivoting to help others? Define what your client is now?
Well, it's a mix because we have returning clients. We're seeing that now. Or by referral, the insurance cases, our clients. Oh, another one, people moving out of their homes, they're selling and they need that intermediate space to move in before their next home, right? So we have those type of clients too that come in that need a middle, you know, not long-term, but just enough just to find their next home.
And another big one is our homeowner clients that we work with and we arrange management contracts with them. to do a full service management, and where we charge a commission at a specific rate based on the property, and they enjoy that management service for as long as they would like to have it.
How are you acquiring those clients?
That's been a mix of being out on Yelp and Google. Some of them have been just from my old neighborhood, where I used to host a lot of neighborhood parties, and they heard what we were doing with that place that we launched, and they want to know how to be creative in that space, because if they don't work with us, then they have to go with just renting it unfurnished on Zillow.
Right.
They know that there's a chance that it can be done better. And by the way, someone with the capability to do some maintenance and house calls needs to be kind of at their disposal as well. Unless they see themselves being directly involved and like physically close to that place, they have to hire someone. And the alternative, I'm sorry to say, no offense to other property managers out there, but they charge a 10% rate to do not that much.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's all debatable, obviously, like looking the contract to contract. But what you said Yelp. I've never heard anybody mention Yelp.
Please elaborate.
Yeah. Tell us what you're doing there. That's interesting to me.
So the Yelp is new, but we've started to do paid Yelp ads. And we've actually got calls from there more than Google.
What? Okay. Give it to our listeners. Let's go. Give it to us.
Yeah.
Make it juicy. Let's go.
I can't really explain why. I met someone else that's in the short-term space, and she's probably like 6 or 7 years ahead of where we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very successful firm. Maybe I'll just plug her.
Yeah.
Vacation Rentals by Kimberly in San Diego. She occasionally does some... Well, she told us that she gets some of her leads from Yelp as well, which was news to me. So we just decided to try it out. So we want to be present in both spaces everywhere we can, and we'll invest more deeply where we start to see results.
So you're running paid ads.
Yelp paid ads.
You said paid?
Yeah.
I did not even know that was a thing. And then are you running Google paid ads also?
We are, to a smaller degree. So Yelp.
Can you share your budget on that with us?
So it was $25 a day, and that's per pay click ads. It's kind of like, you know, a pretty articulate structure how they do that based on who clicks. I reduced it to $5 because I still want to have the presence and the capability, especially on Yelp, where it shows like projects and it gives your logo and it just looks like a more thorough professional page. And you're just doing way more of the pay per click advertising on Yelp. Again, the jury's still out on whether at this point and for us, it's the right fit to pay for that type of stuff. But more central to our strategy is like we are kind of nearing about 18 properties between us and our two managers that work with us. And then there's, of course, our contracted help. We're pretty close to being okay with where we're at now with a handful of new acquisitions over the past couple of weeks and going into the next few. So we don't necessarily need to take on a lot more business and don't need to pay to do that more heavily. We're kind of at the point where sometimes you guys might have experienced it. Let's normalize with what we've got here, get our legs under us and get good at these properties, and then we'll move forward from there.
Yeah.
What do you don't want
to do? I love the idea, because this, you know, people want to know, how do you get clients? How do you get clients? Like, well, you have to advertise. And so sometimes like just paid ads like that, like to me, it's genius because you're trying it and, you know, it's a numbers game. So how many leads do you really need to get that one like client, that especially in real estate, like one client doesn't mean one property. One client could mean 5 or 10 or 20, or that one client knows 5 people. So I just applaud testing it, hearing what is working for someone that is a very similar industry of you. Like, you know, if it worked for Kimberly, why not try it? And I think it's just, you know, a lot of people are very scared to test marketing dollars, whatever it may be. So I think I'm glad that you shared that, you know, just you're out there testing things.
And I'm sure this has been the story for a lot of hosts and a lot of property managers picking up the phone and calling listings. You look and see if there's a home that's been sitting there, which was the case for our Carlsbad house. I saw that it had just been sitting there. I saw that they were asking for a little too much for just a, you know, regular short-term or long-term unfurnished, but the numbers made sense, you know, for us, what we're doing. So not being afraid to pick up the phone and calling owners and saying, hey, are you open to this idea? And here's the model. Everything's on board. you know, with the city, with your HOA, whatever it is. And that's another way. You just got, you have to put yourself out there. Closed mouths don't get fit. You gotta talk, you gotta ask. So
one other thing I would say is just encouraging everyone to talk about your hustle. A lot of people just feel like they're a little bit ashamed to say, oh, I'm a realtor. I'm trying to get good at managing properties. People would be like, what? Wait, how are you doing it? Explain it to me. And they're just uncomfortable because that they might fear that it might not work out or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you talk to people enough about it, especially with, like, I talk to people all the time on base about it. I'm always like talking about investing in stocks and making money. And a lot of people, it's just like, they're not trying to hear about that. They're more worried about like what's going on with the military disposition across the Pacific. But you talk to enough people, like, and that's just an example, but not everyone's into what you're into. Mm-hmm. But you talk to enough people, especially people that are on a similar mission where mm-hmm. they're just trying to be better and do business, they might not be in a space where they're going to be like a partner for you or maybe a client right now, but they know people. And maybe later on, you just talking about what it is that you're excited about and something that you're trying out will generate conversations and they'll come back and maybe they'll be ready to do business with you later or their people will.
Yeah. And that's how at the Tides community where the townhouse is, that's how we acquired three other properties there. I will tell you the HOA, the teams on, or what are the members on the HOA team are homeowners too. And they have bashed him. Us. They have put him out there on blast. Like, trying to do short-term rental here or whatnot. So you've got these neighbors, the homeowners, they're like, well, you know, can you do it? Or some of them are opposed to it and others are like, no, we want to do what you're doing. We have to move and we're gonna rent our house out anyway. So we heard that you're doing this and it seems like you're still doing it. So you must be on board. So then, you know, with his connections in the community and talking about it and flat out going on the Facebook group, hey, if anyone wants management services, here we are. And so word of mouth. And then some of them were on edge. We're like, I don't know. We haven't heard good things about him or what's going on. They're our clients now. And they're extremely happy. At first, they're nervous. It's the unknown.
Well, yeah, it's just, we had to kind of just get out and in a very verbal community and make sure that everything is on message mm-hmm. and consistent with reality, as opposed to some rumors that we might've been operating in the short-term space there, just because some people were able to put a few things out on Facebook that were untrue and they don't have to be accountable for what they said. That's on them. That's fine. But being able to have conversations face-to-face with people that are interested in doing business. And despite the fact that they heard, I guess, messages of warning from people in the HOA that, hey, this might not be the best move for you, just go with a different strategy. Mm-hmm. Then they hear us out and they're comfortable with how our business is, how ethical we are, and they want to make money and maximize their investment. Mm-hmm.
Speaking and putting yourself out there, he's really good at that. I am more like the, you know, I'm a little more shy. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to impose myself. But if I don't know you, I can make that phone call and negotiate it. He's really good at putting us out there with people we know, anyone. I'm learning from him, you know? Yeah. So I, if we were to give someone an advice, like go to your community. And if you are tight with your neighbors, anyone, just put it out there and be excited about it. And don't be shy to ask because it's worked out for us.
I think that's what so many people are afraid of. It's they're ethical. They know the laws. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they're afraid of someone calling them out on something that doesn't exist or that doesn't pertain to their business. And you just have to be continually educating yourself, being in contact with your HOA, with your city, so that you can be like Jonathan and Heidi here saying, well, I hear you out. I understand the rules and laws. And because of that, we're actually operating in this way, which is in complete compliance. And not being nervous about standing up for yourself and your business, you know, knowing that you are doing everything you can to operate safely. And knowing that you're in a community and you've agreed to live by certain laws. I mean, Annette and I always say that, like, you can always operate somewhere else. But the fact that you are operating within the laws of that community, that's all that matters. And knowing that you can say that confidently is...
Sure. Yeah. And then being considerate, hearing people out if there are concerns, like, you know, a loud dog or whatever, being a good steward as a property manager.
Absolutely.
Keeping them happy too, being completely transparent throughout the way. You know, some things aren't always like, oh, we had someone in your house and this happened, you know, but we let them know, you know, ahead of time. We are always communicating and open, you know, dialogue with them. So they know we're taking care of it. And so now they feel comfortable referring us to other neighbors or friends or someone. Yeah.
So what's next when you retire and Heidi, you got to probably, we're going to leave this day job. Do you guys have a plan for the next steps for the business and for you two as a couple?
So it's crazy right now. It's been juggling children, our day jobs, and the growing business, and then us. It's wild. I'm looking forward to his retirement. And somehow I feel like I'll be retiring too. I'm this big manifester. And he laughs at me because he's like, well, you did not do the work to, you know? So I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I've always told myself when I turn 40, I'm going to retire. Doesn't mean I'm not going to work. It's just, I will retire from someone. I have one person above me right now who I love working for him. My day job's great. I have so much flexibility, but I'm still a little tied up. My vision was always, I'm going to retire. It doesn't matter if it's the last day I turn 40 and I'm going to be 41. Within that year, I will be okay. It was before meeting him, you know, it was just always in my mind. And then he always, you know, meeting him, the conversation was like, I want my time back and I want to own my time. I don't want to work for someone else. The government's had enough of me. I've had enough of them. And
well, I didn't say that.
No. right.
The military, you know,
no one's
it's
listening,
a hard
right.
life. And I think mm-hmm. they all end up feeling, oh, I need to rest. Right. And so, yeah, that's where we have enough work. Our business has enough work for us to fully give it our full attention, if it, you know, and continue to grow and to massage little areas that need fixing, you know, because we are, it's grown so quickly that you're still learning too.
Yeah. Next immediate step is to build a successful team to take off our plate, those management tasks that we can then free ourselves up to do more of the strategic thinking and then just expand mostly nationally. We want to get into other cities that are like special to us, Vegas, Miami. We're mostly in San Diego, but we also have a place in Scottsdale where we got to kind of cut our teeth and forming a team out there as well. And we're going to just do that. We're going to replicate it and get it better going to places where we want to be. And when we do our retired lifestyle, maybe a little bit in like South America, Costa Rica, where she's from, El Salvador.
El Salvador. Yeah.
Nice.
You've got Surf City there, which is huge. I mean, I was living in Maui and I've got these Hawaiians traveling to El Salvador to surf out there. So they love it there. A lot of Americans love it there. I meet people that live here in Encinitas. I remember meeting this guy and he's like, oh yeah, I own two homes in El Salvador. And I'm like, oh, it further validates what I've been wanting and what I feel in my gut. It's like, that's a good place to go and invest. Costa Rica, you know, and place, like he said, places that we love going to. Why not?
Yeah. Hawaii's on the list too.
Oh yeah.
Which I'm a realtor out there and we want to expand there for sure.
I'm a little crushed with what happened with Maui because it was my dream to purchase a property in Lahaina. I lived in Kaanapali, Lahaina area. And yeah, I'm just a little, it's not the same. It's not going to be the same. I will always go back, but it's not the Maui I knew, at least where my kids and I had, where a lot of healing for myself happened and my children. My mom's still out there. She moved with me. She stayed. But yeah, we will definitely do a lot in Hawaii. I know we will.
Your story is really inspirational from, you know, starting out and getting your partner on board, a new partner of yours on board, and then pivoting, you know, when someone tells you you can't and you figuring out a way to make it work and fit to, you know, having your full-time jobs and now working towards leaving them to then adding team members so you can free up your time. I mean, it's very inspirational. Where can our listeners find out more about the both of you and your company?
We would encourage them to check out our website, which we're currently revising, but love living.
But you'll always be revising it, by the way. Everybody out there that has a website, I've never asked anybody about their website that hasn't said, well, I'm working on it right now.
It's true.
No, but it's real. Everybody's always like, oh, well, you're not going to go to it, are you? Because I'm the developer. We're changing the pictures.
But you know what? When it was down, when we were changing from Love and Ventura to Love Living, oh, I was like, we need our website back. You know, I was desperate. I was like, I need to share this, you know, and
But sorry, I interrupted you. Where can we find this lovely, amazing, SEO optimized
website? Well, it's essentially a website that is done on Hostaway, which we use as our centralized booking platform.
Oh, great.
But that's in no way a plug. The website is actually a venture to free us up from that. And I have someone trying to build a lot of the same capabilities, because as you build out more properties, these centralized booking websites, they love to take their piece.
Oh, yeah.
So avoiding that is going to be part of our strategy. But yeah, lovelivingmanagement.com. You can see a little bit about our properties, the listings as we add them. Over the next couple of weeks, you're going to see five more or so pop up on there. And you'll see a little bit about us.
Awesome.
On Instagram, love_living_MGMT. And we follow you. You follow us.
Yeah.
Already, which we appreciate. That's actually how we started our conversation.
Yeah.
We appreciate that
too. I saw an email ping or a Google Calendar invitation one day. I was like, I know this name. Thanks for... I was like, what the heck? Oh my gosh. What?
You did what?
It was pretty cool.
There's a lot to learn from people who've been in business for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And there is a lot to learn from people who are just starting their business, you know, and our listenership and Annette and myself included. I mean, at all areas and all points in which you guys caught my eye because of what you're doing and that hustle that you have, but that dedication and focus to hospitality. And that's what makes it such a great fit for our community and our show here. So thank you for all you're doing out there in California. And we look forward to what you do beyond. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting. Talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros, is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.